I want to be spending with the Kiva a little bit. Not in any esoteric type of way. That was for last night, for those of you who followed. The more Yavamas, the more it says that the Kiva had 12,000 sugas of Talmidim, and they were all nifter during the Tekufa from Pesach to Latzeres. The world was desolate. Rabbi Kiva went to Rabbi Senesh of Adorim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yehuda. And he taught them Torah. And from them, Torah went out to Klal Yisrael. That Maisa seems to be superhuman. A person lost 24,000 Talmidim. They were Talmidim. They were Gedolei Torah. The world was desolate. Until then, the world was not desolate. They were Talmidei Chachamim. They would have been the reason. One of the explanations why we commemorate that this death over any other series of deaths which exist in the Klal Yisrael, because it diminished Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Kiva gave over. Imagine for a moment those 24,000 Talmidim had not died. Klal Yisrael had 24,000 Talmidim Chachamim of the caliber of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. They would have had Talmidim. The Talmidim would have had Talmidim. Klal Yisrael would look different today. Klal Yisrael would be a different Klal Yisrael. With all of the tzaras, all the golas, you're starting with a base of 24,000 people which have Rebbe Kiva's Torah. Rebbe Kiva's Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu said about Rebbe Kiva, if you have him, what do you need me to give Torah through me for? And these were people which the Gemara refers to them as Talmidim. And they're gone. You put your head down and you cry. You just give up. It's done with. Rabbi Kiva goes, it's a Rabbi Senesh of Adorim. He starts over again. The five Talmidim. And these, the more lashon is, they were called him Rebbe, means they already were Talmid Chachamim. They weren't his Talmidim that he built from the ground up. They already were Talmid Chachamim. But he gave them over his Torah, what he had to offer them that they didn't know. And that's it. This is Klal Yisrael. Stam Mishnah, Meir, Zohar, and all of Kabbalah, Shimon. Which he says, Chumas, Torah and Rebbe Kiva. Means he got it from Rebbe Kiva. But this is like the most halakha part of Rebbe Kiva's Torah. But he got it from Rebbe Kiva. It wasn't Shimon's Torah, it was Rebbe Kiva's Torah. So you have Mishnah, is Stam Mishnah, is a mayor, and Zot Gemara and Megillah, but Kula Steam Saul, leave it to Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Yehuda, Safra, but Kula Steam Saul, leave it to Rebbe Kiva. They're all based on Rebbe Kiva's Torah. He took these five Talmidim, he made Torah and Klal Yisrael. Rebbe Kiva says, you know what? If Rebbe Kiva said, you know what? I tried, didn't work, I'm going into retirement. I'm going to find some nice little base matters. I'm going to sit and learn. We really faulted him? No. We relate to his emotion, 100%. Rebbe Kiva is a fascinating person. Rebbe Kiva, the more says that not only was he in Amoritz till the age of 40, but Rebbe Kiva says, if you would have brought me a Talmid Chacham to me, I would have been an Eshkenu Kechamor. I would have bit him like a chamor, which breaks the bones. Not stomach bites him, but the posh, I would break his bones. And a hatred to Talmid Chachamim. He's a roya. He sees there's a hole in the oven. Avarim Shachar Kumayim. He makes a cheshbon. He says, I can also learn. So what was he saying? Until then, he was pashut. He didn't believe he could do it. Because his answer is, I could do it. Like, what's the Shakabataria? It means the Havmina was he couldn't do it. And now he was inspired that he could do it. If water, which is soft, can bore a hole in Evan, which is hard, Torah, which is kosher, can bore a hole in my heart. So Rav Akiva Pasha didn't believe it. Till that, he believed he couldn't do it. So he goes and learns Torah. We had in Tells, in my days in Tells, the high school was divided up, it was called Machlokas. So Machloka Gimel was approximately ninth, it was about 10th grade. There's a fellow, was Baal Tshuva, you know, this is in Cleveland, there's no Baal Tshuva yeshivas. And he's learning Torah. He sat in Machloka Gimel, I think, for 2 years. He sat in Machloka Gimel. How old was he? 35 years old. Married individual, never learned Torah before, he wants to learn Torah. So he sat himself down in Machloka Gimel with boys who were 15 years old. So Rehiba comes in, he's 40 years old, and he comes in with the Ingelach, learning Haskalos Mishnayos. You know, we start with the little kids with the picture of Mishnayos, you know. And Rehiba sitting there with, picture of Mishnayos, right? Really? And he's able to sit and learn and overcome that. But his Havamina was that he can't do it. And the commercial one is that he could do it. There's another Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva, the Mor and the Makis, famous Gemara. Rav Akiva is going with the Chachamim, and they see a shul coming out from the base Kodesh Kadoshim, Kodesh Kadoshim. And he's still behind Boichim, and Rav Akiva started being Mesachik. So they said to Rav Akiva, "Why are you being Mesachik?" He said, "Why are you being Boichim?" Malcolm Shakasa by Hazara Karav Yumas, Vach of Shulam Hilchabai, it's placed with Hazara Karav Yumas. And now Shulam Hilchabai, and we shouldn't cry? He says, that's exactly why I'm laughing. Immediately, Shneidim the Monday. Right? My union. He's in Rishabayashvish and Bayashani. The two areas go together. The depths of despair. I can't imagine the emotion. And I'm not an emotional guy, you know. I can't imagine the emotion of what it means to see Yeshua walking out of the Kodesh Kodashim. The pain, the searing pain to Klal Yisrael, to the Gedolei Olam, which understand what Torah is and what the Mikdash was. And some of them were people which were in the door of the Tzimit of Yerachim and Zakkai. They probably saw Mikdash as young people. And now you see Shulim Hilchabai. It's the depths of despair. You can't imagine such a pain. A person went through the war. Right? And he goes back to the city of Ger. Ger, B'shaitoi, during Yom Tovim, there could be tens and tens of thousands of people there in the Beis Medrash. And you walk into the Beis Medrash and it's empty. It's empty. It was used during the war by the Nazis for a stable. There's animal things there. Can you imagine the pain? Rav Akiva starts laughing. No despair, no yiyush. We have to build. I don't understand the Gedolim which came to America. I don't understand what it means when Aaron Cutler comes to America. I don't understand what it means. He left behind his son. Doesn't know if his son's going to get out or not. Son's going to be safe. Left behind his family. Doesn't know what's going to be with his family. Left behind his Talmidim. Doesn't know what's going to be with his Talmidim. He left behind Klal Yisrael. Comes to America. He walks, the first meeting they have with him, comes to New York. He makes it to New York finally. And he's Tevei. We have to do, we have to go. We have to save. And then he says, he's looking for a piece of land to buy yeshiva. Out of your mind. Panovich Rav bought the land for Panovich Yeshiva, 1943. He lost his family. His daughter, he tried to save his daughter by marrying off his, a lot of women were saved. A lot of, they married, you know, they did civil marriages to begin, because in those days, you can, the woman could be saved on the man's passport. So there was people who had valid passports, especially, interestingly enough, the German passports, the Talmidim who were Germans, who had German passports, were able to get out. Because there was a pact between Russia and Germany. So they were able to get out. So they tried to marry off. He made arrangements. This one was saved, that one was saved. His daughter wasn't saved. It didn't work out. He comes there, it's Israel. It's the middle of the war. Rommel is on his way, going across North Africa. He's buying a piece of land, the Bnei Brak, to build a yeshiva. They told him, they thought that he lost his mind. That he lost his mind. So the morale says like this. The morale says, the Mormak is. That you take a seed, you plant the seed into the ground. What happens to that seed? It decomposes. Now, imagine you had a seed, but you could talk to the seed, right? You know, we've talked many things in the Shmuzim here. We could talk to seeds also. And this little seed says, you know, what are you doing with me? He says, I'm going to put you into the ground. He says, what? Like, you know, I'm a seed. You know, a little bit of smell. You know, smell nice. It's colorful. Sometimes people eat me, you know. So no, we're going to put you in the ground. So I promise you, that you're going to grow into this big tree with leaves and flowers and fruits. Really? Okay, I'm asking. Right? You hear the seed being masked. He says, we're going to have to first stick into the ground. It'll be dark and dank and wet down there. He says, okay, it's got to do, you got to do. He puts him over there, and he starts decomposing. Starts rotting and falling apart. And he screams up, hey, you fooled me! Nobody hears him, because he's stuck under the ground. They're all by himself. Nobody's there with him. Falling apart. And from that decomposition of falling apart, the way he was, because he wasn't, out comes a tree with leaves, with flowers, fruits, many generations. Sometimes to fix something, the best way to fix something is when it falls apart. And you put it back together in a better form. Klal Yisrael had chesronos. Klal Yisrael had problems. Klal Yisrael had things that need to be fixed. And they're only going to be fixed when you hit rock bottom, that's when they're fixed. When it falls apart. That's the process of Yisurim in this world. That's the process of Misa in this world, the Ramchal says. The goof is not perfect. It doesn't work well. It's going to come out in a much more perfect form. It has to decompose first. And if you put that together, get in a better form. Rabbi Akiva understood that you don't, that Adarabba, this decomposition, this falling apart, will allow him to build something more pure. Rabbi Akiva says in Sof Yuma, Ashrechem Yisrael, Mamik Mataris, the man of Kodesh Baruch Hu Mataris Yisrael. Shem Ramikva Yisrael Hashem. Now it's a beautiful word. The problem is that the pasuk Mikva Yisrael Hashem is not talking about a mikva. It's talking about tikva of hope. The word mikva really doesn't mean a mikva, as in water. It means hope. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the one that Klai Yisrael hopes the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Dr. Bekiva says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, my Mikveh Taras HaTameyim, my Kodesh Baruch Hu Taras Yisrael. What's the Shaykhs? It's two different words. It deserves a different conversation. But Tikva is understanding when things don't make any sense. There's still Tikva. Right, there was a son of Yesh Tikva, right? So I'm not sure, it was my eye in all the words, whether they're M's or not M's, you know, if we sing all together, it makes it tick, but I don't know, on my face, it wasn't my eye in, my stomach has some curves. But Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, he understood that you never lose tikva. How do you do it? So the famous word from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that he says, Medavton, Enisht opton, medavton, enisht oifton, medavton, enisht nochton. So you have to do. I'm doing it out of order. You have to do and not imitate. Medavton, enisht nochton. Nochton means to imitate. You have to do what's really right for you. Medavton, enisht opton. You have to do and not try to get it done with. And medavton, enisht oifton. You have to do and not try and get it to accomplish. We have this picture that, you know, we measure, you know, how much did you accomplish, right? So a person, whatever he has goals in life, he has things he's supposed to accomplish in life, right? And he measures against those things. Or other people create measurements, you know, we have sort of, right? This person, Talmud Chacham, and he put out a sefer, right? He has Talmidim. There are plenty of Chachamim which have no sefer and no Talmidim, and they sit there in the unknown, and they try and it didn't work. And there might be bigger Talmid Chachamim than the ones which do. Why? I don't know. He's nicer, Bav Dafka. Right? Kol Tzolei B'Mazel, Filas Hevatar Shabahechol. B'Lachim Meir B'Esrim, when he comes to Shemayim, he doesn't get more schar, less schar. It's not about doing. It's not about accomplishing. It's not doing what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to do. You just keep doing it. Adarabba. The Fum Tzara Agra. It's easy, you know, to be, you know, you feel like Chosher, but, the guy that nobody, everybody that, you know, comes knocking on the door, you know, Zimshuluk, because he can't support his family, you know, but nobody knows who he is, you know. Right? He might get more scar in your mind, because he's doing it anyway, you know, without the COVID, without the accomplishment, without the feeling of feeling good about himself. He's doing it because that's what he's supposed to do. Rav Akiva didn't have a yeshiva that Rav Akiva should feel good about having a yeshiva. Rav Akiva had a yeshiva because Bereshit gave him responsibility to give over Torah. That didn't end when his Talmidim died. He still has responsibility to give over Torah. He just has to find somebody to give it to. It's a mind-boggling thing. I think, you know, The word which we use is yush. People give up. Now, I can't promise anybody anything that eventually you keep trying and eventually you'll be successful. But I think yush is predicated on a mistake. It's predicated on a mistake that there's a definition of success, and when we're not reaching it, we're miyayish. We give up. We feel despair. We feel frustrated. We're miyayish. I have to tell you, it's interesting. My Rebbe, when he would discuss Yiyush, he always point out, it's a Chazanish Batsim. The Chazanish says this Lashon. He says, what's the opposite of Yiyush? He says, it's Tikva. He's talking about not a Moshe Shmuz. Right? Yish is I'm a yayish, I'm never going to find it again. And tikvah, I hope they'll find it. He says, there's no one state of being. Either you're miyayish or you have tikvah. He says, it's a continuum. At the beginning, when a person loses the item, so he has a hope, like 95% he's going to find it. And 5%, you know, maybe it won't be able to find it. And at the end, he still hopes a little bit maybe she'll find it, but 90% he's probably not going to find it anymore. It's a continuum. And you cross a certain threshold, you're no longer a person who's a Makaveh to a Yeshua, you're a Miyayish. when you accept that inevitable reality, quote unquote, you're miyayish. The opposite of yiyush is tikva. Tikva is that there's still hope that something can happen. But that's not the point. The point is not defined by that it will happen. The point is that it could happen. And it calls me that it could happen. I have a responsibility to try. You know, you hear stories about these, you know, these gedolim, these chassidim, you know, that, you know, under the most difficult circumstances, they just kept doing, and it didn't make any sense, and they just kept doing, and, you know, and sometimes it didn't work out. We don't hear those stories. You get to hear the stories of how it worked out. That's beautiful. Those are beautiful stories. That's not. But the problem is, we don't need Mechazer Amunah. We do need Mechazer Amunah Kodesh Baruch Hu, but that's a different shmuz. We need Mechazer Amunah in ourselves. That we're put here for to do something. To do it. Just do. Not to accomplish. And maybe I don't know how to say it right. Maybe the step before that is the reason why we look at definitions of accomplishing is because we're lacking a definition of ourselves. We're not comfortable with ourselves. So I need to define myself by something. Oh, I'm successful. I can be successful. For some people, means they made a lot of money. So successful means they made a big impact. Successful means that they were able to accomplish, to get a job. Success means they're able to become a Talmid Chacham and teach Torah. But why do we need success? Like, why is it so important to us? Because it's a measure of value that we need for ourselves. But who made that measure of value? Did Kadosh Baruch Hu make the measure of value? Did he say, you know what, Shemayim, you're going to get better points if you're successful? He didn't say that. And his criteria of value were valued, A, because we exist. The person who created us means he wants us to exist. If he wants us to exist, means he holds that we're valuable because he doesn't create things which are worthless. So if he created us, he wants us to be. He cares about us tremendously. We have the most important being in the world caring about us and wanting us to be here. That's value. Right there. The next step is obviously he wants us to follow. He gave us some suggestions how to do things, called the Torah, right? Because this is what's good for us. And now we do it because it's good for us. Point this out multiple times. We're on our way to Kabbalah Torah, which is predicated on Shasichim Eretz Yisrayim. The Ben Chochum asked, "Mo ayinus v'chukam v'mishpatim shitzva Hashem Elokeinu v'eschem." Lamdan ayinus v'chukam v'mishpatim. How gavaldik, mamash gavaldik. What do you tell him? Avraham Avinu tarim Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out. Vayitzavenu Hashem l'asos is called the chukim o'ela. Hashem was mitzvah to do the chukim. Everything is a chayk. Nothing makes sense. Everything is a chayk. The tevlonu call yimim l'chayasena k'yom hazeh. Because it's good for us. It'll be a merit for us to do it. That's it. It doesn't make any sense. And it's nice to understand something. It makes it easier to swallow it. But it's not what it's about. It's good for us. My lamb and the son, I want you to understand something. This is good for you. That's value. Well, in the eyes of the people, I don't have value because they don't understand my value. Okay, so what? Why is that a definition? And from that vantage point, Rav Akiva says, okay. Right? I mean, I can't make up stories, right? I don't know. Rav Akiva walks through the city. There's Rav Akiva who blew it. He must have gotten his tamidim wrong. Look, his tamidim died. His tamidim is a bad Rav Akiva. I don't know. People are not saying that. He walks into the shul and like, he's also not such a nice guy. Like, you know, Mestama, that's what kind of Mestama, like, you know, I mean, you know, Bali Lashon Hara and Klai, so Mestama, there were, I don't know, I can't tell Lashon Hara about Klai, so Mestama, I don't know. He says, what, it's a Rekibas, it's a Tzadik Gomer, I don't know, basically, you know. Moshe Rabbeinu, people made fun of him also, you know, you know, like, he didn't find himself like that. He went and found to be willing to learn from him. And that was it. End of story. Bachar sits in Beis Medrash. And he doesn't see success. So he once came to the stipler and they asked about a reshiva came to the stipler about a certain Bachar. You know, he's not seeing success in his learning. So the stipler said, can you read a Mishnah? He said, yeah. So what do you mean he's not seeing success? Now, the stipler wasn't an amoritz. The stipler knew how to learn shas, right? Right? And his answer was, he could learn a Mishnah. That's success. Well, not in the world's eyes. Like, but why in the world are we defining ourselves by the world's eyes? For this bacher, that's success. He's sitting and learning, he'll learn a Mishnah. Anyway, what the Bacher is Meyuyish. Why is he Meyuyish? Because he made a definition of success, which is ridiculous for him. So we accepted a definition from the society around us, and it comes back to make a burden on our heads, which is overwhelming, and it destroys us. So what do we end up doing? Nothing. And we're Meyayish. I think the lesson of Rabbi Kiva is a lesson of a value that a person has because he exists. I just heard a psychological study. I heard it from Dr. Palkowitz and from the tape of his. And the study scares me. Okay. They studied like this. They took cross spectrum of society, old people, young people, men, women, etc. They put them in a room with no stimuli, nothing, for 15 minutes. They can't access anything, they can't do anything. Just be with themselves for 15 minutes. Okay? And they ask people afterwards, how was it? And you're just with your own thoughts for 15 minutes. The majority of the people, the vast majority of the people, said that it was excruciatingly painful. They hated it. It was like the words. Okay. Now they did it a second time. They gave these people a control to administer to themselves an electric shock, which will be not dangerous, but will be painful. They could sit in the room for 15 minutes to do nothing or to choose to give themselves that shock. And 68% of the men, 24% of the women, gave themselves shocks. Just not to be there by themselves for 15 minutes and do nothing. I'm talking to the men section right now, not to the ladies. We cannot sit and look ourselves in a mirror for 15 minutes and be comfortable with ourselves. It's not about accomplishing, it's not about doing, accomplishing, oifton. It's about being the keli the Brasha made you. I mean, all the Bali Moshe said, the first step is you have to love yourself. If you're busy being uncomfortable with yourself and you have all these emotions, negative ones about yourself, every person who reminds you of one of those things, you're going to hate. Because they're very uncomfortable emotions. If you learn to accept yourself with your ma'ilus, with your chesronus, with your abilities, with your lack of abilities. And say, the Bresham, maybe like this, the Bresham's happy with that. Like, I'm not complaining. And you really like yourself, so the guy next to you doesn't bother you. So you might as well like him also. Maybe when Rabbi Akiva said, Zech Hagodol B'Torah, is V'Hafta Recha Kamoicha, that was the same Rabbi Akiva who was able to pick himself up and stick himself into Kita Aleph at the age of 40. You know, hey, there's this like old man sitting up with us. You know, they probably teased him also. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, Cheder Yingalach are not the nicest kids in the world. They're very, you know, they can tease people. Didn't bother Rikiva. Kagoda Batara. The Bresha made me like this. Bresha made you also. Some, I love you too. I love myself. I love you because the Bresha made us like this. Gewaldic. That same Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva because he wasn't busy looking over his shoulder. He was busy just learning. It's a tremendous amount of energy. Like the Sasemis is a Maisa, not Sasemis, the Beis Yisrael, not the Beis Yisrael, the in between, Rabbi Mordechai. Right. Somebody came to the Gay Rebbe, he says, you know, his competition across the street, you know, is doing much better than him. You know, he has neck feelings of kino. You know, he said, I understand why. He says, what is your neighbor? He says, my neighbor, like, you know, when he works, and then in between, like, you know, he learns. He says, what do you do? I watch his stores. He says, you're watching two stores. He's only watching one. For Tzitzik, he's more successful. You're busy watching his store also. How am I? Just watch your store and you'll be successful. Right? That same Rabbi Akiva said, V'hafta Recha Kamocha. That same Rabbi Akiva was able to see Yavadim Shachar Komayim and to sit in the Kita Aleph as a 40-year-old. That same Rabbi Akiva was able to come to the Gadol Hador. That same Rabbi Akiva was able not to be destroyed when his Talmidim fell apart, his yeshiva fell apart. He could start over again with five other people. And that's what Rabbi Akiva said, Ma mikveh mataris ha-tameyim, yesh tik, when the pasuk of mikveh yisrael Hashem, that there's hope. Mikveh yisrael Hashem, there's hope. Not yish. The chazan yish. Because he was able to just look, I didn't lose my value. The Bresham still kept me here, means he wants me here, means I'm valuable. So I have something to, I should try. Just keep trying. Doesn't work. It's not my business. You're here not to count, but you're here to do. You're here to just do because you exist and you have a value. And that value, Russia wants you to try. What you accomplish, not your business. And I would like to believe Rabbi Akiva would be very comfortable in a room with himself for 15 minutes. I think Rabbi Akiva would be very comfortable with himself in a room for an hour. Because he knew, Imke Nafsha, he knew that Russia cared about him. He knew the Russian put him in Israel because the Russian wants him here. He knew that whatever the results are, that's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to try and figure out what the Russian wants him to do and do it. Exactly. He was able to love himself and accept himself. And he was able to accept the people around him and work with them. And he was able to make Talmidim. Where they were able to do that, the next generation, it's a challenge. Not a Kiddush. It's a challenge. One of the biggest challenges in Siddur Beis Medrash is this problem. Rabbi says this is the biggest problem in Siddur Beis Medrash. You take a bachur, you put him in yeshiva, so he's with other bachurim 24/7. You know, the purpose of a Jewish mother, it was Mother's Day today, right? What's the purpose of a Jewish mother? A Jewish mother is unconditional love. Like, my son is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. He's one of the most lovable person in the world. He looks horrible. He's mean. He's stupid. But my son, he's a Talmud Chacham. That's a Jewish mother's job, right? So you go home every night. It's your Jewish mother. She says, Shefelah. Hey, your day in yeshiva must have been gevaldik, right? Good. The Bachar goes back to the dorm and he sees the guy. One guy is smarter than him. One guy is quicker than him. One guy is funnier than him. One guy is this. Everybody's better than him in some way. So push it. It's not avonim shachak u'mayim. It's kina shachak. It pasher wears away at you till you're left with nothing. Rekabat samas kina. There's nothing left to you. you don't exist. Because everybody's better than you. And you can't run away from it. In base matters, you see this guy. This guy davens nicer than you. This guy shows up to daven. You know, right? You know, that's also right. This guy learns better than you. And this guy's more of a bigger master. He's a bigger lam. This guy's more king. This guy's faster. This guy's smarter. This guy has better lines. You know, there's always somebody getting your nerves. Only if you're not comfortable with yourself. The injection of the love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like he's the ultimate Jewish mother, the Shekhinah is called Ima, right? Is you're wonderful, you're valuable, you're great. There's nothing better than you. The Rashi says, I created you, I love you, I want you here. Because if I didn't like you, you probably wouldn't exist. That's Ima. The Mama at Mirgashik, right? We're saying the Matzah Yom Kippur. It's talking about the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah put us here. That's Ima. That's our Jewish mother. You can use such a lashon. And the Mama says, we're wonderful. Right? We need to remind ourselves, Mama says we're wonderful. Mama says we're wonderful. And therefore, from that, accept ourselves with our chesroinus and with our challenges and with our frustrations and with Al's Din. That's what Jewish mothers are for. And from that vantage point, Mikvah Yisrael Hashem, there's a tikva. And then we can love ourselves and hafarecha kamoicha. And then we can makabal and we can accomplish and we can accomplish and do and build and make a difference in this world because we exist. And then we're able to actually accomplish. And we're able not to be and not to be mekaner from the person next to us, but just focus on building ourselves the way we're supposed to be.